Hi, my name's Chris Pels from idevtech.com, and in this video we're going to look at how to build a custom ASP.NET web server control that includes AJAX functionality. And to demonstrate how to do this, I built a little sample website here that houses all the necessary pieces, and we'll take a look at all those pieces in detail. Before we get started doing that, I thought it would be important to point out how I created this website for those of you that are new to Microsoft AJAX. So I'm going to go up here to the solution and go and add a new website. And what I wanted to point out is that I created an ASP.NET AJAX enabled website from that template rather than a regular ASP.NET website. And what this does is it includes a number of pieces, assemblies, and some code in the web.config that sets up the website to use AJAX functionality. So we'll cancel out of this and go back to our sample website. And I thought the best way to get started would be I'm going to run the website and show you the custom control that I've created and how it works and what it does. So we'll run the website here, and it brings up the sample web page. It has the control on it. Now this little button here that looks like a play button on a media player is the sample control that I've created. And watch what happens when I click this control. This is intended to mimic the play button that you might find on a typical media player. When I click this control, what happens is the button changes from a play button to a pause button, which is the behavior you might typically find in a media player control button. And this, I should point out that this occurred without the page refreshing. So we'll click it again and the pause changes back to play. So that's the custom control. It's this little button, and that's the behavior that it exhibits when you have it on a page. Now let's close out the website here and go back to Visual Studio and take a look at the different pieces that make up this project. Okay, let's get started and look at the different pieces that make up the custom control that we just saw on the sample web page. So first thing we'll do is open up default ASPX and look at the tags for the putting the custom control in the page. And it's pretty simple what we have here. First I should point out that we have a script manager tag on this page. If you work with Microsoft AJAX, you know that any web page that's going to have AJAX functionality needs to have a script manager tag. And then besides this simple table with a heading, down on line 19 and 20 is where we put the tag for our custom control. And you can see up here on line 3 as well that we've added a register tag that registers the namespace that has or contains the custom control. We'll see that in a minute. And we're using the tag prefix of sample to indicate the custom control on the page. So down here we have an instance of our media player button. Media player button is the name of the custom control. And then there are two attributes that the media player button takes. One is the image here for the pause button, and the second over here on the right is the image for the play button. So that's how the sample page works. It's pretty simple to put the control on the page. It's just like any other ASP.NET control, except in this case it has a different name and some special attributes that define what behavior it has or how it looks. So let's close up default ASPX and go and look at the other pieces that make up the project. Okay, next let's go look at the parts that make up the server-side aspect of this media player button custom control. And that's contained over here in the app code folder. We've created a class called media player button. Obviously we could have created this in C# as well as the VB that we've used here. So let's take a look at the pieces that make up this class. First thing to note is that we've created a namespace and put the class in a namespace so we don't have any collisions with other classes in the project or website. We've named the class media player button. and it inherits from the ASP.NET image control, since essentially we needed a lot of functionality that's in the image control, and this is just an extension of that. And then we've also implemented the iScript control interface. This is a required interface if you're going to have AJAX functionality in your control, and you'll see the various methods that we need to override and implement from this interface as we go down through this class. First thing we have in the class are a couple private variables that store some information needed by the class. First, we have a URL for the play image, a URL for the pause image, and then an instance of the script manager. Down here, starting on line 26, we have created a property for accessing the play image, and it gets and sets the value of that corresponding private variable that we saw up above here just a moment ago. We have a similar property for the pause image URL down here. And then the next thing that we do is we override the pre-render event. And what we're doing here is that we check to see whether or not we're in the design mode. And if we are not in the design mode, we check to see if there is a script manager on the current page, because remember, the script manager is required if we can have any AJAX functionality. And we saw that script manager tag over on the default ASPX page just a few minutes ago. If we don't find a script manager, we throw an exception. And if, as long as there is a script manager, we register the current custom control that we're creating with a method called register script control on the script manager object. Then we call the base on pre-render event. Next, we override the render event of the control. Again, we check to see whether we're in the design mode. And if we're not in the design mode, then we call a method on the script manager called register script descriptors. And again, this passes an reference to the current control, the current custom control. I'll explain what this method does in just a moment as we look down below at a couple more functions. The next function we want to look at here on line 94 is called getScriptReferences. We're overriding this from that iScript control interface, and this is a required method that you need to override. And essentially what this method does is it returns a set of objects, script reference objects, that indicate what JavaScript files need to be included when this custom control is rendered and sent down to the client. And in the case of this custom control, we have one JavaScript file that we want to include whenever the control is rendered. It's called MediaPlayerButton.js. So we create an instance of this script reference class, set the path to the script file that we want to include. If we had more than one script file, we would create multiple instances of the script reference class, and then down here we're returning an array of all of those script reference objects that we've created. In this case, we've only created one, so we only have this one object instance here containing the reference. And the last thing that we'll look at is a method called getScriptDescriptors. And what this does essentially is it returns an array, in this case an enumerable object, of script behavior descriptor objects. All this means and all this does is that whenever our custom class is created down on the client, this indicates what needs to be a part of that custom class. And in this particular custom control, what we need in the class on the client are two properties, one called playImageURL, the other called pauseImageURL. And those properties are populated with the values of playImageURL and pauseImageURL that we have here on the server. Now, if we needed additional properties, we would add them here as well. In this case, we don't, but if you needed to, this is where you would do it. And then what we do is we return an array that has all of the descriptor objects in it. In this case, we only created one descriptor object, so we're returning just that one object as the return from this function. So just to reiterate what this function does, because it is a little bit confusing, is that this is essentially saying this is what the custom class down on the client needs to have whenever you create it. So what we've done here is created those two properties for the play and pause images. So that's it for the server-side class. Let's close this up and go back and look at that script file for the client. The other main piece of our Media Player Button custom control is the client-side JavaScript. So let's open up the Media Player Button JS file here and take a look at what it contains. First thing you'll see on line 2 is that we're registering a namespace using the register namespace method on the type object, and we're naming the namespace custom controls. Now, JavaScript doesn't inherently have a concept of namespaces, so this is something that's being added in the Microsoft Ajax library down on the client, so that we have a little more familiar programming paradigm and some of the functionality that's available back on server-side .NET programming. First thing we're doing is creating the Media Player Button class. We're doing some initialization that associates this instance of the class with the corresponding HTML element. In this case, it's an image tag, so they know about one another, and we can have some functionality implemented because of that association. Next, we're setting the play and pause image URL properties to null. Remember, these are the two properties that we created back on the server-side code when we were looking at the get script descriptors method. We indicated these two properties are necessary any time an instance of the client-side class is created. And then, starting here on line 17, we are defining what is called the prototype of the class. Now, you may not be familiar with prototypes, so let me just briefly explain what it is. Essentially, the prototype, the best way to think of it is essentially the class definition. And so what we're doing here in the prototype is defining all of the methods and objects that make up the class. The first one we have is the initialize method for the class, and what that does is it calls the base initialize method, and then it sets up an event delegate for the onClick handler, and that delegate is a method called underscore onClick, which we'll see in just a few minutes. Then the next thing we need to do is call a method addHandlers. AddHandlers is a shortcut method. You can see the dollar sign preceding the name of the method. And this is part of the Microsoft Ajax library. And what it does is it attaches the event handler, in this case the event handler for onClicked, to the corresponding element, being the image tag. So this associates the onClick event with the image tag in the HTML. And the last thing we're doing here in the initialize method is that we're setting the source property for the image to be the play image when this is first initialized. Next, we're defining a dispose method, and we're doing a little cleanup here. We're using another shortcut method that's part of the Microsoft Ajax library to clear all the event handlers that have been attached to the current element, the image tag in this case. And then we're calling the base dispose method, so any cleanup that needs to be done occurs there as well. The next function we're defining is the event delegate underscore on click, and in this it contains the logic for switching the images when the image element or media player button control is clicked. So if you, as you saw in the beginning when we demonstrated the control on the web page, if the play button is visible and then you click on the media player button control, it switches the image and shows you the pause image. And this is the logic here that causes that to occur. It's just basically resetting the source property of the image element to the proper image URL. The next thing we have is two different property getSet for the play image and the pause image URL. It's important to note here that the naming convention is very important when you do property gets and sets in the client script for the AJAX library, and we're preceding the name of the property with get underscore and set underscore. So just make sure when you make your properties here in the client-side JavaScript that you use that convention, and that it, because that maps it back to the property descriptors that we defined on the server side, so this all hooks up and works correctly. The next thing we have here is a descriptor for for JSON serialization. It's commented out in the sample, and if you'd like to play with JSON serialization, just uncomment this here, and it has that definition in it. Down on line 110, what we're doing is registering the class customControls.mediaPlayerButton with this instance of the MediaPlayerButton control, and we're specifying that this is derived from the base class sys.ui.control, which is a Microsoft AJAX class, and you can look at that in the AJAX documentation. The last thing we're doing here is we're notifying the application that the JavaScript file has been loaded properly, and whenever you have a JavaScript file that's used in the Microsoft AJAX environment, you should always include this line so that the application knows the JavaScript has been loaded properly. So that's it for the JavaScript side of things with our media player button custom control. Let's go back and look at the sample web page and point out a few more things. Now we've seen the two major pieces that make up a custom control with AJAX functionality. We saw the server-side code in the mediaPlayerButton.vb file. Then we looked at the client-side JavaScript in the mediaPlayerButton.js file. Just a couple more things I'd like to point out. Here are the images that are used in the media player button control, both the pause and the play image. In the web.config file, you'll see a number of tags that relate to the AJAX functionality in the Microsoft AJAX library. What I wanted to mention here is that I didn't have to add any of these tags manually. When I selected the ASP.NET AJAX enabled website, initially when I created the project template automatically added all of these sections to the web.config file. I encourage you to go off and read the documentation so you understand a little bit better what some of these sections do, especially two sections, the membership related authentication and profile service, are something that you might want to look into. They can be very useful. So let's close out the web.config and fire up the sample web page again. As we can see here, here's our little media player button, and it's defaulting to the play image. When we click on it, the image changes to the pause image without the page refreshing. Since this is AJAX based, click on the pause, it goes back to the play image. So that's a brief tour of how to create a custom control with AJAX functionality, hopefully by seeing both what happens on the server and on the client, you have a pretty good idea what's happening behind the scenes here as we look at the Media Player button in action. I want to thank you very much for your time. I hope you've enjoyed the video, and I encourage you to go off and learn more about Microsoft AJAX and use it in your projects. Thank you very much.